UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope your week has been good to you. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. The first of two guests is Tom from the state of Georgia, United States. Tom believes he has developed some unusual abilities, which he calls upsight, that allows him to connect with different beings. And then we make our way to Kilkenny, Ireland to hear from Shane. And Shane has had close encounters with light orbs, a flyover of a flying saucer, a triangular craft, and he has also experienced telepathic messages and visions. Tom, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Tom, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Georgia this afternoon, Tom.
That's correct.
Wonderful. Now, Tom, you're going to be sharing your experiences with non-human intelligence. Would you like to start at the beginning and let listeners know a little bit about yourself, please, Tom?
Thanks, Nick. Today, I want to tell a story that started 10 years ago when I went through a mental health crisis and addiction recovery. And this is about 2012. And up until this time, you know, I was a businessman, a successful businessman. I had an advertising agency in Atlanta, Georgia. I'd used drugs before, but I was clean and sober for quite a while before I picked up. But something unusual happened this time I picked up in 2012. When I started using coke, I would get these ideas, these unusual ideas. I would be paranoid, which is not actually that unusual for coke, but I think I would be followed. But then I would have these thoughts that I would believe were true. In other words, something as absurd as that your children are aliens, or something as absurd as that your business is a front for another business, an illegal porn empire. I would actually have these thoughts. And it got so bad that I actually believed them to be true. So I had a thought. I was on drugs. I believed it to be true. I believed it so much that I walked out on my wife and two kids. I literally walked out on a thriving business. I emptied all the money out of my bank accounts, and I started traveling around the globe because I couldn't trust anybody. So And again, at the same time, this is happening, I'm using. And if you met me at the time, you wouldn't think anything was wrong. You'd think I was a normal guy. But as I was talking to you, I might have an idea that you weren't who you were, that you were somebody else. So I would empty my money, traveled around the globe, started in Atlanta, California. I went to England for a bit. And as I'm traveling, I realized, I say to myself, okay, Tom, you know what? You're having these thoughts, which are ridiculous. You've literally lost everything you love. The only way you're going to find out if this is true, if in fact you are being followed by satellites, is to get clean and sober. So I go to a treatment center and I get clean and sober. Well, the good news is I'm not doing drugs anymore. But the more extraordinary part of it, I'm still having these thoughts. These ideas come into my head and I'm having trouble differentiating what is real and what might a thought have been placed there in my brain. Now, let me back up a minute before I get to getting clean and sober, because one of the things that happened and the first time I had an encounter was on the island of St. John's. While I was going through an episode or a binge, I was on the island, and as I was driving over on the ferry to St. John's, it was telepathically communicated to me. They said, "You will, these aliens, what they were, these beings, said you will leave the island alive." So I kind of resigned myself to my fate. I check into the hotel, and I stayed there for a couple of days. While I'm there, I literally rearranged the hotel room. I started hanging ropes and clothes from the ceiling. I started drawing pictures, and I was building. It was kind of like the scene from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but instead of building a mound of devil's power from the ground up like he does from potatoes, I built this galaxy or these strings hanging down, and these aliens are telling me this is their galaxy and what it looks like. My whole room is covered in what is basically, it looked like a spider's web. I mean, the hotel staff was afraid of me. They thought I was the strangest man, which of course I was. I actually had an illustrator draw a picture of it, and I'll send it to you so you can put it on the website, kind of like what it looked like. So that was actually my first encounter experience, but there was no visible encounter. Everything that was said to me was done telepathically. Now, keep in mind that I'm already having absurd and ridiculous thoughts anyway, so I can't differentiate what my thought is, what a thought insertion is, or anything. I'm an unreliable at this point, and the way my thinking goes is unreliable. So that happened. So that was the first time I ever had an episode. So I decided to get clean and sober, and I did. Okay. So now I am clean and sober. My family welcomes me back. My relationship with my wife. I heal my relationship with my children. Something extraordinary happens, right? One night, I'm sitting on my couch. I'm looking at the ceiling, and all of a sudden, I start hallucinating. Now, I don't know, and hallucinating is not the right word, but we'll use that word for the time being. I don't know if you've seen The Queen's Gambit, but it's a show about a chess player. And one of her gifts is when she's trying to figure out the chess move, she looks up at the ceiling and she can see a kind of holographic projection of the move she's going to make in chess. This is exactly what happened to me. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching these, and these four visions, I'll never forget them. One was the Grim Reaper. One was the slot machine winning money. One was blood cells running through your body. And the last one is from a dinosaur's back, or looking down at the dinosaur's back. Now, all this happened, and I'm like in awe of these images. And I continue to think, oh my God, I want to learn more. What's going on? So again, clean and sober. So I started researching, hallucinations, hypnagogic hallucinations, which you have right before you fall asleep. And I take a deep dive into learning more about the brain. I start emailing all these academics, and I don't ever talk about the encounter, because in my mind, my brain has changed so much. I need these serious academics to take me seriously, because my brain can do these extraordinary things, because I can do it on demand. Happens all the time. So I don't even talk about the encounter. All I talk about is getting into an MRI and, let's reproduce this, or let's see what things light up while they're studying this. And to that point, I did have two MRIs from a clinical perspective, not like a research perspective, to see what happened to my brain. And both of them came back negative. I actually thought there was some kind of lesion or tumor there that was causing these images, but there was nothing. So that was a good news. No damage was done to my brain from any of the drug use or anything. It was the MRIs came back negative. So that was a good thing. So now I want somebody to study this because I can do it on demand. I can do it in a lab. I can change the images. And I call this gift, I call it upsight. I can do it all along. I've done it for quite a while. Now, this is going back 9 years. So again, I've emailed 100 different academics. Some of them are curious about it. Some of them completely ignore my emails. But one of the women, I was going to get out in the Smith Kettlewell Eye Institute out in San Francisco in 2019. We were going to go out there and see what was happening, but COVID happened. So that kind of put a kibosh on it. Now, in the meantime, I wrote and published a book called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness. It's a detailed telling of what happened to my journey. It has the encounters in it, and it has the first two-thirds of the story, kind of like a what happened to my family, what my psychotic thoughts. And the last third is about upsight and how I figured out how to separate in my mind a creative thought, which is, I would call it an internal, let's call it this, let's call it internal thought or an external thought. So that has been, it's like this filter developed moving forward. I don't have any more psychotic thoughts. I don't have any more delusional thoughts. I do have, I know where thoughts are coming from now, which is great. So I wrote a book, I published it, and it's on Amazon. I tell that story. Now I stayed, and in those past 8 years, talking about encounters, I've had a number of them, because what happens is this: while I'm using upsight and looking at the ceiling, and I call searching the organic metaverse is what I call it. In the book, I call it schizopedia, combination of schizophrenia and Wikipedia, but now I call it the organic metaverse. While I am doing this, while I am literally engaged in this with this ability, sometimes other beings will hop into my line of sight and I'll have an exchange with them. One time, and I'm going to send you this picture too, Nick. One time, I'm sitting there, looking at on the organic metaverse, and I stumble upon a gray ship, one of the ships you see with the gray aliens in it. Now, this was absolutely a mistake. I didn't plan on doing it, but I'm watching them. There was about a dozen of them, and they're standing around this raised glass table, and they're all looking down on this town, on the city, and they're all doing it, and I'm watching them They're not watching me, but I'm watching them follow these humans around, and their eyes are going from one human to the other. This is really fascinating. One of the grays catches me watching them, because obviously I've stumbled into remote viewing, and they look at me. Now this gray starts coming towards me while I'm remote viewing them. And this is the first time it happened. I kind of just backed out, and the remote viewing disappeared. But that's when I knew, wow, this ability was extraordinary. So I started remote viewing. I realized I was remote viewing. I could lucid dream. And I was, I could also go farther than remote viewing and do astral projection. And believe it or not, there's another element to this upside, which is I can take any dimension or topological space and bend it and move it in my field of vision. It's like a visual spatial super ninja is what I call it. And because of this, I have a better ability at math. My numeracy has gotten better. And I even for the longest time had a deep fascination with math. But to the point of three-dimensional objects in four dimensions, I can fold all kinds of spaces in my field of vision. So that was one incident that happened. Now that was a remote viewing. So these grays were not in the room with me. I was not abducted by them. I just saw them. And I've seen them many times in remote viewing, but that was the first time. And it was cool because what they were doing was they were remote viewing a scene with humans, and I was looking at them. So that was very interesting. About a year after I got back with my family, this is one of the first times, or actually the only time I was ever in a room with, I would call it a being, a three-dimensional being. I wake up from a night sleep. I turn to my left, and there are these 8-foot tall, 8 or 9 foot tall, translucent beings with Ming the Merciless robes on. They have beaks, big eyes, and they're looking. There's two of them that are standing behind the one that is standing right next to the bed. Now I turn around. Normally, if you would turn around and have this experience, you would be terrified. But I turned around, I looked at them, and I was shrugged, like I was irritated. The kind of thing you would be is if you were in a hospital and you were being woken up by a nurse to be given meds or anything like that. So I got out of bed, this being stepped back, and I went to the bathroom, I went to the restroom. I got back in bed, they're still there. Again, I'm not scared. I'm just irritated at the intrusion. And I went back to bed. Now, I thought about that a lot. And the reason I was not scared is because these were the same beings that were studying me when I was on St. John's a few years earlier. And I knew them. I just didn't know them consciously. And for some reason, they were there. The guy in the front that was close to the bed, he was being tested somehow. I don't know how. And I don't know how I know this. I just know it. He was being some kind of, maybe this was like, he was doing, I don't know what it was, but he was being tested. That was the only time that I've been in a room where the 3D beings, you know, like what I would call a being that I could bump into was there. Again, they were translucent. So that was very interesting. And that happened quite a while ago. Since then, sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, there are other beings or creatures that are there kind of like shadow figures, but they never get close. They're usually about 5, 6, or 7 feet away. And they're shadowy. They're never really clear. And that happens occasionally. Now, that's not the same experience as when I'm on the organic metaverse and I'm seeing them, you know, engaging with them. Those things are almost like watching me. I don't have any contact with them. When I wake up and walk out, you know, I get up, they disappear. So those are just a couple of things that have happened to me on my journey. And now my goal is to hopefully find other people who can also engage and have this ability with Upsight, and we can find each other. And perhaps, I honestly think, if I can have telepathy with a gray or an alien, then maybe I know other experiencers also have this experience. Perhaps if we have this experience with extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings, we can have the same ability with each other. So one of the things I'd like to see happen, or if anybody knows about it, is that if there's a group of us that can get together and try this, I think that would be really interesting. There's a place in the States called the Monroe Institute, and they do some kind of stuff like this. And my goal is to get up there in the next year, but that hasn't happened yet. But that's really my experience with an interdimensional being, an extraterrestrial being. So that's where we are, Nick.
Absolutely. So you reckon that there is definitely more people out there that possibly have this Upsight?
Well, here's the thing. On UFO Twitter, I write about this a lot, and that's where I post a bunch of things. And inevitably, every time I do, or even every time I do a podcast, I'll get a private DM or an email from somebody saying, wow, you're the first person that explained it like this. I do this too, but they'll always say I'm afraid to go deeper, because a lot of times it's scary. You know what I mean? There are really scary things that you can see. So yes, I know there are other people. Now, what I don't know, and I hypothesize that this would be the coolest thing in the world, Nick. If I'm doing it and I'm seeing an image, and there's somebody else that has it is sitting next to me, and they're seeing the exact same image, that would be amazing. You know, and I think that's actually something that could happen. Yeah, for sure I do.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they do this kind of stuff, I think they have a kind of like a limit, like a barrier, which they're a bit apprehensive to cross, because, you know, it is opening yourself up to a lot of new experiences.
Big time. And I was lucky. I had the mental breakdown first, so I wasn't scared of anything. That's for sure. You know what I mean? I had the complete breakdown first. So when these other things, I go, this is nothing, man. I almost lost everything. I can deal with this.
So do you think that having the breakdown was a kind of key into this?
Without a doubt. Something opened in my brain and it stayed open. So I can see other dimensions, other realms, whatever you want to call it. I do think the drugs had something to do with it. But I've been sober 9 years, almost 10 years now. And it still happens. So I know it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's the drugs, but it's not the drugs. The drugs opened the door, but the door stayed open. Or connected my brain in a way that typically isn't connected this way.
Right, right, exactly. And I get a lot of emails from people which the email will start off from, you're going to think I'm crazy because I thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wrote the book. I mean, it's called Jesus Goes to, I thought I was Jesus for a little bit. It's called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness.
And you're also a keynote speaker as well.
Again, that stopped because of COVID. In 2019, my first thing was a mental health marketing conference in Nashville. I was a keynote speaker there. After that, I was invited to a whole bunch of things for 2020. I was booked from April to October, but we all know what happened. And since then, this is why I shifted from the mental health. Now, this will be interesting to you, Nick. This is why I shifted from just sticking with mental health and going to the extraterrestrial and interdimensional. It's because our director of defense in the United States, April Haynes, last November, she's in the National Cathedral, and she's saying, listen, there are UFOs and UAPs that our pilots are seeing everywhere, and we don't know what they are. And I literally had this aha moment. I'm like, you know what? If our leaders, politicians, and people who could be literally losing an election because they're made fun of and believing in this are talking about this, I need to really rethink the alien interactions I had or the extraterrestrial and maybe take them more serious. So I've only really taken them more serious for about 9 months now. Now, don't get me wrong. They've always happened. I wrote about them in the book. But I've looked at them from a different perspective. I'd like, maybe this is more serious than I was willing to admit because, you know, somebody says you're going crazy and you have hallucinations you can control and you have aliens. That's just so much, you know, and maybe it's even too much for me to handle all at once, too.
Of course, yeah. And there has been politicians which have lost their careers or it's deeply affected their career because they have come out and said about their experiences, you know.
Yeah. And one of a woman named Gillibrand, there's a Gillibrand amendment. I know she wants to be president. And she's talking about, you know, studying UFOs and UAPs. And look, this is going to, I don't think she would risk that if there wasn't something to back it up. I don't think she would risk a presidential election because the other party can easily make fun of it if there's nothing that they know way more than they're letting on. We'll see. It's going to be very, you're in the right business, Nick. It's going to be very interesting next few years.
You're not wrong. Yeah, every year it gets more and more interesting. Okay, Tom. So take us through one of these experiences. Okay, so it is kind of similar to remote viewing.
Yeah, see, it is exactly what it is. Yeah, well, see, when I did it, I stumbled into the remote viewing, and since then I've remote viewed, you know, many different things. I mean, I've seen. Well, I don't want to talk about that because I wonder. In November, I remote viewed the Kennedy assassination. And I want to have my illustrator draw, but I do not want to talk about that now. And let me be honest with you too. Sometimes the images are real, so you cannot fake this, Nick. One of the things I was going to do is you can track my eyes. So there's something called smooth pursuit eye movement, right? And the smooth pursuit eye movement, it's tracking like say a jaguar running across the field. Your eyes have to be following something. And you can't fake it because if you're faking it, your eyes will jump from A to B to C. With smooth pursuit eye movement, it's consistent. And when I do upsight and the images I see, they're all smooth pursuit. There is something there that I am actually seeing. Not only that, but the response, like if it's startling, the pupils will dilate or expand depending on what, you know, if it's excitement or fear. So we know, you know, the doctors I've talked to know there's something going on. We just need to know. Everybody wants to know more about what it is.
For an example, when you were viewing the ship, the gray ship, you weren't seeing it as images. You're actually seeing it as like a projection.
Like a hologram. Like a hologram. So in other words, they weren't all color. They're usually like a glass or smoky, let's say that. Like we've seen so many holograms, I think everyone would say a typical hologram you'd see. Like in the movie Star Wars, when Princess Leia, RDT2, her image comes out, it's like that. There's light, a lot of light to see to it. It's usually like one color tint. They're one color tint. But what I was going to say, when you sometimes, and I've tested this with my wife, I'll have her walk into another room and I'll have her say, pick up three things in order, and then I'll remote view it. It's not always right. As a matter of fact, it's not right a lot of the time. I'm seeing her walk in there, but it's not the exact thing she did. So that intrigues me too. So we need to figure out what's going on there. Yeah, and I've also tried to use it to win horse races or baseball games. It's not having any of it, you know, to precognition. No, it was literally show me an entire horse race with a horse winning, with a horse. Let's say I watch a horse, they come out of the gate and I watch them finish, right? So the third horse race, and I'm in front of the Kentucky Derby. I'm trying this out. So I'm like, okay, that's the horse that's going to win. It never happens. So I don't think if this upside has an intelligence or a conscience, it does not care about me winning financial gain from it, or at least that way, you know?
Right. Okay. Is it possible that the brain is maybe just is filling in detail?
So we've had so many discussions about that. If you, here's what I would say to that. Sure, it's possible. But if you saw what I saw, you would think, no, that's impossible because it's so detailed. Nick, it's so detailed. You know, it's like a, it's as if you were to say that it's like watching 5 minutes of a movie that you're saying is somewhere in your brain you had stored there that you didn't know about. That's what we're talking about here. So yes, I guess it's possible, but I can't see how. Imagine, here's a great way to put it. Imagine turning your attention to the side, focusing on this and seeing 3 minutes of a clip from the movie Jaws, right? No, don't say that. Let's start with the movie Jaws. Then you'd be like, wow, that could be stored in my memory, right? Or something like that. It's amazing that's there. But then again, it could do something that's completely unrelated. It would be the same. It would be the shark and the swimmer, but it would be unrelated to that. So it would be similar, but not exactly the same. Or it could be something I've never even seen before. Now that's really interesting. Sometimes I see images and creatures or things I've never seen before in my mind. So I know they can't possibly be stored there. Or if I have, again, I didn't remember them. But that's certainly a possibility.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. So I know with some memories, if you try and think about some, like a film, for example, if you try and remember the film, your brain will obviously fill in those little details that you kind of can't quite get right and stuff.
Well, I actually have, believe it or not, an illustration of that too. I call it normal vision. And those, what we're talking about is hyperphantasia and aphantasia, or the mind's eye. And a hyperphantasia, 10% of the people have hyperphantasia, which is a really good memory. They can recall everything. Some of those people have photographic memories. Aphantasia is you can't remember anything in the mind's eye. So, but I do not have a photographic memory. So if I saw the picture of Jaws and a year later somebody asked me to describe it, I could describe some of it, but not all of it probably. With Upsight, I don't have to pull anything from memory. I'm seeing it. So there's the big difference. I'm not pulling anything from anywhere. I am literally looking at this thing before me in real time.
And do you think this is something that can be, because obviously we must maybe all kind of have this ability, but is it something that can be trained? Could you train someone to be able to do this?
I've gotten better at it for sure. If I can train myself, that means other people can be trained too. And I think if a bunch of us, if I can find somebody else that can do what I do, I think we can, you know, and we get it in some research clinical setting, I think we can make advances more than I don't even know how much. Yes, I absolutely think it. And that's what the Greys were doing, by the way, on their ship. They were, as a group, they were remote viewing, but they were stronger because they were a chorus. There was a bunch of them. So and that's what was telepathically put in my head. So it's like, wow, so that's what they're doing. They know what they need to do to make their remote viewing stronger. And their eyes are so big. And this is all about the vision on the eyes too. So they have, it's like, you know, a loud voice or a strong muscle. That's, again, that's what I was saying as well. So it's part of their physiology. And I don't even know what Greys are. I don't know if they're humanoid, half machine. I have no idea. All I know is I've absolutely seen them. And that's pretty wild.
And obviously, if they're doing it as a collective, then this is something they've done for a long time. And it obviously works very well. And it would be interesting to see if anyone will get in contact that believe they have this possible ability Upsight, because chances are they've given it a different name in any case.
Definitely. Yeah. There's so much, again, I think every week or every month something new is happening with UFOs and UAP. And who knows if the government will ever talk about disclosure. But things are happening. I don't know. We're evolving. We're, you know, are seeing better. You know, women can see colors that men can't see. So they may be seeing something like, you know, that we can't see, or we're a little bit behind. But there's so much more to our world than we know, never mind other galaxies.
Yeah, that is true about women, actually. Yeah, they on the receptors differently in women.
Yeah, they are. They're called, I don't know, some kind of Kodachrome color or something like that, where they can see thousands or, I can't even imagine, but millions of colors. And every person that's ever been studied with that has been a woman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's hence why they're way better at color decorating the house and things like that. They see things match better. Yeah, I know my wife is way better than I am.
Yeah, for sure.
That is wonderful, Tom. So to our listeners, if you feel that you have an ability like Tom has explained to us, send us an email, get in contact, and we'll see if, you know, it'd be possible to kind of get a group together and see if you can explore this deeper.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be ideal. I would love to do that. Yeah, great, Nick.
Tom, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, good. I'm excited to see what kind of, you know, what things happen. Connections are made. There are no coincidences, Nick. No coincidences.
No coincidences.
It was a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for your time, Nick.
Yeah, keep in contact, Tom, all right? Take care.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Talk to you later. Bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, Shane, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. How are you, man?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Kilkenny, Ireland.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Lovely. Okay. Now, Shane, you have UFO experiences to share with us and paranormal. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Shane?
Yeah, of course, man. No problem. So I guess about a year ago, last August, so yeah, pretty much coming up on a year ago, I had a close encounter with what I can only describe as like an orb of light. It was hovering outside my window and I was watching it and I was nearly sure that it wasn't a star, but I wasn't 100%. But I had been watching it closely and I was like thinking it was moving, thinking it was jerking about, thinking it was just behaving strangely, pulsing, blinking on and off. So I had gone outside for a cigarette and it was about 2 a.m. It was a Sunday night and I was standing in the garden watching this thing and I was sure that it wasn't a star. I was like absolutely convinced, but I just needed to know. So I don't know what came over me, but I decided to jump into the car and drive to like, it looked like about 200 meters as the crow flies, but maybe a kilometer away to drive, wind around the streets over to it. So I jumped in the car, started up, started driving over to it. I was watching it as I was driving over and it was just still sitting there, still hovering about, blinking on and off. So I'd gotten over pretty close to it. And as I got to it, I just noticed it was a ball of light. It wasn't a star. It was just this orb of light. You hear the term orb, I don't know how else to describe it, but just an orb of pulsing light. And it was just wavering over the road. So I drove up to it and I hadn't considered you see these things and you think that like, oh, that looks like something strange. I'm going to drive over to disprove it to myself. You don't really think about what's going to happen if you drive over and prove it to yourself. So I don't know how to describe the kind of shock that I went into realizing that this wasn't what, like, you know, you'd think it was. It was like just flying there. So I just made a split second decision to turn the car left at the next road, which was a country road that led out of the town. I was driving out that road and there was like trees on my right road I'm leading along. And as I got out of the town, the row of trees stopped and this orb of light was just following my car beside me at my window, just flying along with me. And I was watching it and still trying to work out what was going on as it overtook the car and flew in front of me. And I said to Dad, I noticed there was another orb, which was like not quite as luminous as that one that was in front of me, but just a shade or two duller. And that one overtook me as well. So the two of them were in front of me, one on either side. And I was still driving along without really knowing where I was going. Like, I was just driving out of town. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I'm going to take the next road that comes up to loop back towards town and go home again. So the next road comes up, which is a road to my right. So I take that. And as I take it, the two orbs zip along and fly in front of me again. And I keep driving down along to the end of that road, which is the ends at a crossroad where I can go straight ahead or left or right. And right would be back towards town again. So I turn right and start driving back towards town. And the two orbs just sit where they had been. They don't start following me and they don't continue after me. So I'm driving back to town and I get into the town again. I hit the main road that runs around the bypass around the whole of the town. I hit that road and I turn right again to start heading back the way that I came. And as I do that, the first big bright orb flies back over a tree and in front of me again and starts zigzagging the road in front of me, leading me as I'm going along. So I'm driving along and we get pretty much back to the point where it all started. And the orb stops and just starts flying straight up the way as I drive past it and stops like higher up in the air than it had been. And I just keep driving on home. Like, I'm rattled at this stage. I'm like shaking driving the car. I still haven't had time to really process what's going on, but it's just like, I don't know, the feeling of like, there's something you can't explain is taking place. What might happen next? It's just nuts. Like, but I keep driving and I drive home and I get back to the house and I walk in around to the back of the house. And I'm looking back to where this had all started and the orb is still there hovering in the sky. And I go back into the house and it's about 3 a.m. at this stage because it had been quite late when I'd gone out for a cigarette. So I go back upstairs. My girlfriend's asleep in the room, so I don't wake her up and I climb into bed beside her. And as I'm climbing into bed, this orb just flies over to the window, like right outside the window, and it just starts to pulse. It looks kind of like the drawings you see, like the Star of Bethlehem or something. It's like just four points are growing out of it, like one at the top, one at the bottom, and one at each side. It does that a few times. It just flares up at the window. And then it just shrinks back down to the size of what it had been originally, maybe like a basketball. And it just keeps going past the window. And I'm lying in bed, my girlfriend beside me. And it's hard to describe how shaken and shattered you are by all this, because, you know, you believe one thing and then you don't kind of comprehend how hard it's going to be to have that shattered in an instant. But I'm not really considering all of that. Anyway, I'm just lying in bed, just really shaken up by it all. The last thing I remember is our cat coming into the room and jumping up on the bed. And I just went to sleep from the exhaustion of it all. So that was like the very first thing that happened. And I remember the next morning waking up to go to work. My girlfriend had already gotten up to go to work, so I couldn't get a chance to tell her before she went. And I had to go off to work and just go through the day and the motions of it all. And then I remember getting home and just not having it in me, you know, start going through this conversation with someone, to make question your sanity or like even their reality. It just didn't seem fair. So I didn't say anything at first. And that went on, I guess, it was about a week or two later. And the orb still showing up every night after this. They were still outside the window. It had gotten to the stage where like I could tell when they were out there because there was this ringing in my ears whenever they're around. Really high buzzing pitched, like ringing. It's hard to describe it, but I've heard loads of people talking about it, even on your podcast. So I know that some people know what I'm talking about. You just get aware when they're around. It's hard to describe. But this has been going on for a while. And the next encounter was, it was maybe a month later. I'm trying to think now. But my personal life had started to fall apart at this stage. My relationship with my girlfriend had ended. And my job had ended. And I had ended up moving back home with my parents. Again, like in my 30s. I remember just heartbroken. I couldn't understand like why my personal life was crumbling so hard, even though I knew how responsible I was for it personally, not to do with what was going on with UFOs, but it was just another kind of thing to deal with. So I was back home at my parents' house, and I'd started taking our dog for a walk every day or night, and depending, like whenever I wanted to get out, whenever my head was melted, I would just need to get out of the house. And one evening, I brought my dog for a walk. And we'd gone down, there's a graveyard. It sounds a bit morbid, but there was a graveyard. It's about a kilometer away from our house. And it's left over from the Irish famine, which is, I'm not going to get into all that, but it's just this mass grave pit where like thousands of bodies that weren't claimed during the famine got buried at this mass grave pit. And it's just a quarter acre site with a few benches and a wooden cross. And it's just a little piece of history that it's here in our parents' house, which out in the middle of the country as well. I forgot to say that, like my folks aren't living in town and I had been living in town. So when I'd moved back there, I was back out in the countryside. So this is just in the middle of nowhere. This little quarter acre of grass, pretty much, with a cross and a sign with a bit of info about the famine. Anyway, it's where I ended up taking the dog for a walk every day. And this evening, we were walking down past there. And as we were going past, this orb of light was sitting like ground level. I'd never seen them down this low before. It was sitting ground level in the famine graveyard. And I remember thinking, no, not now. I'm not going over. I'm not dealing with this. There's just too much going on. I just remember racing past that. Just keep on going straight out of here, back to the home. Dog ran past. We ran on ahead. The orb just sat in the graveyard. So after that, I didn't want to go back there for a little while. I was just spooked out by like seeing something that close. And whatever about seeing things in the sky, but seeing it down, you know, at a level that you could walk over and interact with it was just too much for me. At the time, it was just, anyway, a couple of weeks later, I hadn't gone back to the famine graveyard, but it was one night and I couldn't sleep. And I was feeling like the lowest I'd ever felt in my life. I was just feeling shattered from having no work, no girlfriend. Again, in my mid-30s, after moving back home to my parents. So I was like out for this walk in distress. I was at my lowest. I was walking along like bawling, crying, just in sniffles, in tears. And I started getting close to this famine graveyard again. And I remembered what had happened the last time I'd gone by with this orb. And just the thought of like, why am I experiencing all of this on top of everything else that's going on in my personal life? It just seems so unfair. It made me just burst out crying even stronger. At this stage, I had like snot and tears just coming out of my nose. And I went into the family graveyard and I sat on the bench and I was just bawling. It's hard to describe like how low I was. And as I was sitting there, this voice came into my head, like deep in the back of my head, not where my usual like monologues are conversing with each other up top. This just came deep in the root of my brain and it said, "You're exactly where you're supposed to be." And it just made me bawl crying even more because, number one, like, I felt like I should be anywhere else in the world. Number two, I felt that's the last thing that I'd tell myself. So this was not coming from me. And I remember leaving there just feeling, like, broken. But, yeah, it's hard to describe. I felt if I hadn't been seeing everything else I'd been seeing, I would have thought, I'm losing my mind. Where have I gone there? Sorry. Yeah, it was really comforting, even though it was really scary. If I hadn't been witnessing everything I'd been witnessing, it wouldn't have been as comforting. But I went home. I remember thinking, all the bad things that are going on in my life, I'm responsible for them all. And I can change all of this if I want to. So I got it in my head that I was going to go down to this family graveyard. And I was going to ask for help. I was going to say, like, you know, I know the flaws in my life. I know what I'm doing doesn't line up to what I want to be doing. If there's any power out there that can help me, because there seems to be something going on, I'll take any of the help that I can get. So this is about a week after the voice in my head. So I went down to the family graveyard. It's about 5 or 6 in the evening. And I stood there and I said all those things that I just said. And I remember, again, I was bawling crying. That's a running theme. At this time in my life, I was just so, like, shaken up by everything that was going on. I was bawling crying, but I remember feeling so much better for putting it out into the world that I wanted to change. I remember walking out of the family graveyard, closing the gate, feeling so good about myself, starting to walk home. As I was walking along, I saw a blinking light in the sky. Red, then white, red, then white. And I was coming along at a steady pace in front of me. I was watching it going like, is it a plane? Is it a helicopter? Is it a drone? You know, all the usual things. And as it's coming and flying, and I'm still watching it, trying to decide what it is, it gets just about in front of me, and I realize it's a silvery disc, exactly like what you'd see in the 1950s drawings of UFOs, those silvery discs on the front of the old comics or covers of magazines and stuff. Exactly what it looked like. And as I was looking at it and saw what it was and said out loud, "That's a flying saucer," stopped and in an instant changed direction and started flying straight towards me. At this stage, I had no fear. I didn't care. It seemed such a response to what I'd asked for minutes ago that I just stood there and watched it as it just flew straight over my head. And it was a silver disc with a viewing deck at the bottom. It wasn't a red and a white light blinking. It was a red and a white light that were circling underneath it. And the way it was coming in front of me, I could see the red light and then the white light, but there were just a red light and a white light spinning around it underneath. And it just flew straight over me and straight over the trees that I was standing under. I'd say it was maybe 50 feet in the air. And it just kept going straight past me. And I watched it just fly off into the horizon. It took maybe 4 or 5 minutes. It wasn't going that fast to fly past me and over me and out of sight. And I remember just walking home going, like, if I didn't think this world was strange enough already, there's another thing to add to it. So that was about 6 months ago, that UFO sighting with the actual flying saucer, the physical craft. And since then, I've had a few orbs here and there. I don't go out to, like, obsess over them the way I used to. I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and my ears bursting, ringing, and, you know, sure enough, if you look outside, you'll see the orbs flying about. But I hadn't thought about them too much. And it started to pick up a little bit after I'd mailed you, Nick, to talk about on the show again, I started noticing the ringing in my ears picking up. But I'd still been wondering about when I got that message in my head saying that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. That didn't seem to really mean anything until I think 2 weeks ago, I got woke up by my father screaming that my mother had fallen out of bed. What happened was she ended up having a stroke. I was here, so between me and him, we were able to call an ambulance, get the ambulance here, and I was here to help the ambulance drivers carry her down the stairs and get her to hospital. And if I wasn't in this house, she'd be dead, because the father is too old to use the phone. He doesn't understand how to use these new phones. He wouldn't have even known how to unlock the phone. He wouldn't have known the air code to get the ambulance here. He wouldn't have been able to help the ambulance driver carry my mom home. And yeah, since then, my mom is home. She's doing good. She's like better every day. I count my blessings, and I have no idea what's going on in the skies above us, but I don't see anything negative by it. And it seems to respond to either wanting you to be a better person or help the people around you. And yeah, I've got so much more that I'm leaving out, Nick, but like, I think that's pretty much the fast forward kind of version of everything that's gone on the past 12 months.
Good job, man. I'm glad to hear your mum's doing okay.
Yeah, man, no, it's amazing. And yeah, it's awesome. It's fantastic. She doesn't even have any real symptoms left over. She's speech is perfect. Everything's perfect. Like, she's getting her strength back every day, and, you know, she's flying up. And she's the only person of everyone that I talked to about some of my signs and stuff. Like, I learned quite quickly that it wasn't fair to ask anyone to question their reality by making them believe what's your reality. Like, that's not fair. Like, so I learned early on to only bring it up to like people that either, like, if the conversation skewers somehow to something paranormal. But the one person that was my mom, when I told my mom about what happened, she just believed me hands down, straight up. And it just makes so much sense to me now, even though it doesn't make sense to me in any way, but at least it makes sense why my life fell apart and why I'm so thankful for it, and that I don't blame anyone, even myself, anything that happened, because I'm sitting here chatting to you now, and my mom's sitting down there's now having a glass of wine and having the crack, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And you're exactly where you were supposed to be, because things like strokes, it's all to do with timing, isn't it? So the longer it's left, the more problematic it can be for lifelong as well. So, you know, yeah, if you hadn't have been there, so you were exactly where you're supposed to be. And, you know, people go through these changes. People go through some real, real shitty times. Everyone does. Everybody does. I've had to say everybody. Everyone around me has had shitty times.
Yeah, of course, man. And they'll come again. But, you know,
that's just life. That's just the way life is, you know. And usually, you know, we go down. But the important thing is that we, you know, you come back up again, you know, and whether it's a fresh start, whether it's yourself, your surroundings, whatever, you know, it's how you've dealt with it and how you've come through stuff, you know. So, yeah, if you hadn't been where you were, then things probably would have been a lot different, and it probably would have escalated for you as well. You know, if your mom had passed, that would have been something else, wouldn't it? So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. And, yeah, I wasn't on the right path. And regardless of whatever the right path is, it's just being close to the people that matter, being able to handle a situation when it comes up, you know, to be there for when it matters, I guess. I don't know how to describe how blessed I feel, you know, to have been here. Because I've always been able to handle myself in an emergency, and it's just a blessing. And I don't know who to thank for it, you know, whether it's my own craziness, but that doesn't seem right. But someone told me that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I don't doubt it anymore. That's for sure.
You're good now, though. Effing good now.
Yeah, I know, 100%. And yeah, no, I'm flying it now. My life has just started. As soon as I went down to that famine graveyard and decided I needed to make some changes and made those changes, my life just started to take off in other ways. So no, I'm flying it now, and I'm definitely not in the place that I was. I haven't cried like that in a long time, so don't worry about me.
Yeah, we've all done it. You know, you basically, you know, you put it out there, didn't you? You know, you put it out there. You didn't keep this inside. You put it out there, and, you know, whatever answered, you know, what the universe, whatever, something,
yeah,
so it helped. So it's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's something I hear quite a lot, believe it or not. Not, it doesn't always end up on the show with a guest. Sometimes they don't want me to go in that direction with them, or they just want to say, you know, but a lot of people do. And a lot of these things seem to surround these emotions as well, strangely enough. What, you know, people, everyone's situation is different, you know, and people are going through different problems at different times. And but again, this is something which seems to surround it as well, you know, especially when something's happening to you which you don't understand, you know, which is not, it's not quite normal, you know, it's not something which should really happen, or it's not something that happens every day, but it's something which does happen to a lot of people, you know. So especially people which don't really believe in that type of thing, you know, or have never come into contact with it, when things start to happen, it's, you know, it's scary, you know, because you can't tell people. People just think you're crazy. So
the biggest thing, and you know, and it's hard to even, like, I feel bad for people who might have only ever had like one straight up encounter, because you'd be forever questioning yourself, because even when it happens over and over again, you're still questioning yourself. Yeah, I don't know. I have a strong, for someone who's like never been religious, I've never been practiced my religion in any way. You know, I was born in the 80s and grew up through the 90s and partied through the 2000s. So I'm not like a model citizen in any way. But one thing I've learned from all this is there's definitely support there somewhere outside of the realm that we can see, that's for sure. And yeah, if I can help even get that across, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, they do say, you know, if you ask the universe will provide.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a whole other story about like things always working out in your favor. But yeah, I just think, yeah, I think positivity and optimism can really influence the world around you.
Exactly, exactly. Prior to the orbs around your car, had you had an experience before, previous to that?
No, I had seen things in the skies for a few weeks before that. I'd been really into UFOs growing up as a kid in the 90s and stuff, and then like kind of forgot all about it. And then during lockdown, I've heard loads of people say this as well, during lockdown and the first COVID lockdown, I kind of got back into it. It just kind of reappeared, I guess, online for me and stuff. I just got back into reading about it and watching about it. And I stumbled onto the CE5 meditation. And I've heard a few people say this on your show as well. But yeah, I tried doing that and nothing happened. But I was like watching the skies keenly for a few nights after that and started to notice a few things. And that kind of snowballed into that first encounter. So, I'm sure it has something to do with it, but I said I'd just start with the first experience anyway.
Yeah, and it's something a lot of people are taking up now. You know, you don't need to be joining a group and head up to the desert or, you know, on top of a mountain or a hill. It's something which can be done, you know, in the garden or the field out back, you know, on your own, you know. You just got to relax and try the meditation and give it a go, and then just be patient and things will be seen.
Yeah, and I think regardless of trying to make contact or anything, I think meditation is so beneficial for you because, I don't know, it teaches you to be okay with inside yourself, as in it makes you a lot more comfortable in yourself. I can't like stress enough how good meditation is, by the way. It's something that's kind of snowballed from all of this as well. Yeah, I meditate all the time now. I love it.
Yeah, and that you're absolutely right. It's something which really does help you mentally and, you know, and physically. So it's, even if you're not out there to make contact with you know, with our space brothers, yeah, it is something which can benefit you. Yeah, I'm exactly the same. A lot of cultures, you know, they all do it. So, and it's been beneficial for eons.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like being spiritual is what you want from it. Like, you know what's right and wrong deep down. You don't need to be told by some religion. I think most things, everyone has a little bit of peace, and meditation is brilliant.
But I've spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia, and we'd go to temples and stuff, and we'd hang out with the monks, and they'd be doing their chanting. And it's, I tell you, when you get into it, it's a completely different world. It really puts you on a different level, a different plane. It's unusual, and they can do it for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, something you can even do, go off hiking on your own. You can totally get to that place. You don't have, people have a weird image in their head of what meditation means, but it's literally just being able to quieten your head and sit with yourself, or walk with yourself if it's mindless, something that you can just stroll along and focus out on.
Yeah, that's it. I used to go for a lot of runs, and I'd do the same. I'd relax my body as I'm running, jogging, whatever, and then I'd pretty much meditate, you know, clear my head. And obviously walking and running is great for clearing your head in any case, you know, when your head's a mess. Doing something like that is so you can clear eyed out. So yeah, wonderful. Good stuff, Shane.
Yeah, man. Again, thanks so much, and mad respect to you and everything you're doing.
You know, the one beneficial thing for me is the amount of emails I get just thanking me for it. You know, this is not coming from guests that I've been on. This isn't just really just coming from listeners saying, you know, thank you for doing this, thank you for doing that. I tell you, it's crazy how much that means to me, that people just go out their way just to say things like that, because it does help people. And that is all I really wanted, you know. Because I started this show simply because, obviously, I've been involved in the subject for a while and my family have had experiences. But there wasn't a platform out there for anyone to, like yourself, to share these things.
You're so welcome, man. I really appreciate you letting me come on.
Ah, you're more than welcome, brother. Shane, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
All right, mate. Take care.
Take care, Shane. Thank you. That is all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Tom and Shane for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.